Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Moon.
Welcome to the Man City Show, everyone. So after a series of frustrating draws, City suffer a 1-0 hammering at Aston Villa, but claim a hard-earned win at the mighty Luton Town. Crisis averted, or just giving the rest a chance? So this is me, Tony Newgrosh, stepping in for our erstwhile host, Nigel Rothband, who had a terrible accident in makeup just before the show. We wish you better, Nigel. And joining me tonight, we've got Spencer Debson. Welcome back, Spencer.
Hi, Tony.
And making his debut tonight, a certain Anthony Debson. Anthony, welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks, Tony.
Anthony, we do have a little tradition in this show, which is anyone who joins for the first time has to answer a very important question, okay? And that question is, tell us about your first game. City game, I'd hasten to add.
I'm going to go for one of the first games that I really remember clearly, and Dad will know this. I think it was City 4, Arsenal 2, Adebayor runs the whole length of the pitch, kicks an unfortunate, was it Arshavin in the face, and knee slides in front of the Arsenal faithful. But it was a real top quality game.
I remember it well, and you are obviously frustratingly young. But, welcome aboard. So it hasn't always been victories and trophies, by the way, Anthony, but I'm sure you've heard those stories from your dad. Let's start then, if we may, at Aston Villa. Listen, we've lost games before, but I don't recall in a very, very long time as being completely outplayed the way we did. And just to, you know, I think we've got to be honest and fair in this show. When we get beaten and beaten like that, we have to hold our hands up. I think the stats showed Villa had 22 shots to 2. It's quite extraordinary, actually. Spencer, what went wrong?
Well, where do we start, really? As you say, Tony, I mean, this game was, people are saying, oh, it's the worst game under Guardiola. And in many ways, it was. But Villa were absolutely fantastic. I mean, I have a close work colleague, Gareth, who is Sutton Coldfield bound. And he says that Villa are not really, you know, they're getting lucky wins and so on. But the team we saw out there Wednesday was really fantastic. I mean, they've got good management now. They've got players who were, you know, reasonable, who seem to be on fire. Leon Bailey looked fantastic. Watkins seems to be developing into the sort of quality player that we need to support, Kane at national level. And they just played really well as a team. And the big thing that was the standout for me with Villa was every time that they lost possession, they crowded and harried and buzzed like bees around the City players and got the ball back. And that, you know, that's what we do. And it's the first game that I've seen in a very long time where we were genuinely outplayed and outfought throughout the whole 90 minutes. So much to talk about there, I think.
So, Anthony, just about the first time you've ever seen City lose, I suspect. Have you come out from behind the sofa? What was your overall take of the game?
I'm a full disclosure, and I was talking to Dad about this earlier today. but Wednesday I'd had a really late night in the office, so I missed the game. And I got to see the score, and of course watch the highlights. But really, you know, Villa are a team to be kind of afraid of at the moment. They security levels on a few. They've got Bailey, Chris McGinn out. They've got an old Man City faithful and Douglas Luiz.
Great player.
In Pau Torres and Diego Carlos. Like they're and a really good manager. So I'm not surprised that they were really tough. Of course, it is surprising that we created so little. But then again, you do feel like the wind's kind of gone a little bit out of the sails since the treble. And honestly, I don't blame them, to be honest. I mean, how can you win everything and then expect to have the same hunger? So, you know, that's my two cents on it.
Okay, so possibly a lack of hunger, Spencer. Do you concur with that?
Oh, I don't know if hunger is the right word. I mean, we're all trying to put our finger on it, aren't we? What is it that's just not progressing and not flowing with City at the moment? I mean, there's been plenty of talk about Rodri. Obviously, Rodri was out for the game against Villa. Clearly, you know, I think he remains the one player that we really do struggle to cover when he's not there. And then we had, you know, Nunes and Kovacic, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, they're bedding in. They are not City stalwarts yet, far from it. And Nunes, I do think the jury is really quite out about his role in the team. And so on. There's been some criticism of Kyle Walker at right back. Is he really contributing as we go forward? And do we actually give up other things by having him in the team sometimes? So there's sort of, you know, there's points of reference here. The Alvarez, you know, Alvarez is not really been at his level for the last three or four games. And then when we are outplayed, you know, Haaland becomes a very peripheral figure, you know. I mean, apart from that double chance that Martinez saved really well, he really didn't have a sniff through the whole game. So I don't think it's lack of hunger. I think it's possibly the system that we're playing, and possibly in the background, you know, there's just something not clicking. I honestly can't put my finger quite on it. I don't know if you, Tony, have got a different thought around it, or Anthony has.
Let's try then. We started, I think, it's always difficult to tell with a Pep team, isn't it, with a midfield of Stones in his first full game back, Alvarez and Lewis. Is that a midfield to put fear into anyone, Anthony?
Well, you know, I'm looking at the lineup at the moment, right? And it shows Walker, Diaz, Akanji, Stones, Guardiol, Alvarez, Lewis, Bernardo Silva, Foden and Haaland. In fact, I think only one of those players didn't win the treble, and that was Guardiol playing at left back at the time, or left centre back slash winger, forward, pivot, wherever Guardiola plays him. And I think our hungriest player to date is of course Jeremy Doku, who's injured for the game. You know, in Guardiola trust, I have my full faith in him. He can go on a 15-game losing streak for all I care, and I still think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And, you know, yeah, every team kind of goes through those ups and downs, but to me, we just don't look like we want it as much as we did last season. I don't blame them, to be honest. But let's see. Hopefully Rico Lewis finds some better form now he's in the England squad as well. So, you know, I can't speak from watching the game, because I didn't. I hold my hands up. which is really embarrassing to be on a podcast say I didn't watch the game. But,
no, but you've seen all that, you know, you've seen predominantly.
I've seen the highlights. We've been to games this season. You know, we're not the same animal we were last season. But what is it? Guardiola always starts the season off a little bit kind of edgy and then goes on a magnificent 20-game winning streak to claw it back from anyone. So, you know, let's see.
Next time you're on, Anthony, if you've not seen the game, just blag it, would be my advice. But
it's all
very well lauding Pep Guardiola, but you never saw Jimmy Frizzell manage, okay? Just, you know, he was brilliant. Spencer, you know, no Doku, no Grealish, no Rodri, no KDB. Is it simply just a case of we were just light on bodies and really it was the wrong game at the wrong time for us?
Well, look, I think that all these are fair comments. I do think so.
we, as we keep saying, we miss Rodri. Doku and Grealish being out gives us, obviously, lack of options on the left. That's possibly part of it. But even so, I think to muster two shots on target in the whole game really does speak to something that's not quite right in terms of our creativity, in terms of our sort of solidity in midfield to be able to get forward. And, you know, notwithstanding how good Villa are and were, and they were very, very good. I mean, you know, they're not the top teams that we meet sort of week in, week out and see in the Premier League. You know, they're on a great run and they look great. But until this far, you're not talking about them in terms of title contenders, but I suspect that they'll be spoken about as a top four team, you know, as the season progresses. But I think we're missing key components in that game against Villa, even without those players that we clearly miss not being in the team. I do think, with Doku in the team, there would have been a little bit more action, a little bit more flair.
Anthony, can you see any circumstance in which we might see Doku and Grealish starting together? It seems slightly odd when we were a bit light in midfield to sign a player who effectively replaces our £100 million most expensive signing. Can they play together?
I actually want to come in on something you said earlier first. My first manager was Mark Hughes. So I've seen some of the rough.
I remember that is a low point.
We were going for ninth place before the takeover, and I remember it very clearly when we were hopeful for European football. We didn't get it, but we were, you know, going for it. On Doku on the left for Grealish, of course, Grealish came in for £100 million as a UK British record signing, and he took a little bit of time to settle in, and then was magnificent. And now he's got real competition out on the left. I think that Guardiola's been quite clever, because while he provides real competition on the left, I think that Doku, especially being young, would be able to morph into the right, the centre, or drop a little bit deeper like Alvarez has. So I think there are situations where we'll see Doku on the left, Guardiola on the right, or vice versa. And, you know, in that situation, I do think we'd still be very dangerous. And, you know, we had that with Sterling, where he was principally a left winger. And then we saw him come to the right, and then we saw him central. And then, of course, he went to Chelsea. And, you know, Chelsea have since become the most enjoyable team to watch in the Premier League.
For a while. Spencer, could you see Doku playing down the middle at all? He's got an eye for goal, hasn't he?
No, okay. I don't think so. I mean, look, he's got incredible skills, pace. And I think we are used to now under Guardiola, ever since he played Alex Kolarov, other than at left back, that he could sort of start to play players in very different places. But he has the natural attributes of a flying winger, and that's what he's shown us so far. So you would have thought not, but never say never with Pep. And yeah, in Pep, we still trust. We just would like him to find some solutions to our current problems.
Okay, all right. I think we've praised Villa, and quite rightly. Don't think any of us would dispute they deserve to win. It's an odd season, isn't it? Nobody particularly seems to want to put their hands up and say, we are going to win the league. Arsenal have lost this weekend. Well, far be it from us to laugh at the state of Manchester United on this show. Chelsea are clearly struggling. Newcastle are falling away. Who's going to win the league this year, Anthony?
I got a text from my old housemate when we lost to Villa and United won, and he said, "Better look over your shoulder. Only 3 points behind." I said, "I think I'll take my chances." And then, of course, after a glorious thrashing to Bournemouth,
they're a good team. Bournemouth, though, to be fair.
I replied, "Lol," and he just went, "Yeah, fair." It's interesting. Liverpool snuck themselves to the top of the season ahead of Christmas, kind of out of nowhere. But they've got a really tough run coming up. You've seen the fixtures. I don't know. I think this will probably be one of the tightest seasons that we'll have for quite a while. And I'm kind of excited to see the Premier League be a little bit more, you know, dogged. Call it call it more pro football as opposed to pro City, which of course I am, unconditionally.
That's my boy. You taught him well, Spencer. You taught him well. Spencer, where's your money? I mean, look, City will be there or thereabouts. We're clearly not firing on all cylinders yet, but who would your top three be?
Well, look, we go into the Christmas run. The Christmas fixtures are always mission critical, aren't they? And we've got a reasonable run, I think. I was just talking with you about whether we're going to see City at home to Sheffield United on the last game of the year on the 30th, which you would imagine would be a home banker. We're a small number of points off the top after today. It is therefore the taking for any team, I think, that wants to put, you know, 10 or a dozen wins together. Are City capable of that? Absolutely, especially with, you know, KDB coming back. I mean, in a way, we're putting a lot of pressure on KDB, aren't we, that he's bound to realise himself. He's come back after a very long layoff. You know, is he 32 or 33 now? You know, will he be the player that we have come to love and expect coming back from such a big injury at an age? We don't know, but that will be important. So it's definitely a possibility, but it's never been won four times for a reason. It's really, really, really a difficult thing to do. And we've shown the capacity to do it, but if truth be known, we've been off our best level all season, and it's only the fact that the others are also dropping points here and there that keeps us in contention, really. So my money would be, in some ways I'd sort of be surprised if City really do it, but we'll never discount them, and obviously would love that to happen, but I suspect that Liverpool or Arsenal will be there or thereabouts, and someone is going to put together that winning run. Of course, I hope it's us.
So, Anthony, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, as they say. Your dad's already alluded to our summer signings, and they've not set the world on fire, I think it'd be fair to say, in most cases. Are you looking for Sheikh Mansour to get his checkbook out this Christmas? Do you think we need to make signings? And if so, where?
I'm not 100% sure. It's weird because you look at the team play the last few sort of months and you don't think any one player really looks that bad or, you know, that they need to go or they're off it. But the team as a whole, system-wide, has looked uninspired at times. So I still think that we do have all the blocks, and really the majority of a team that did show they had all the blocks this season. So I'm not sure we necessarily have a weak link that needs to be sort of picked up on, but really, you know, tactics need to, you know, be changed, and the players got to want to fight for it as well. Of course, I think we're going to offload Calvin Phillips, who I think for such a nice person and has clearly contributed to the back room, probably needs to go somewhere he finds game time. There's been words of us trying to poach back Douglas Luiz, and I think he's a very quality player. So I'm kind of going to cop out a little bit on this, Andrew, and say I'm not 100% sure. And I wouldn't be deflated if we didn't, you know, break the bank this January and went for some big signings in the summer.
All right, then. Well, let's move on then. Luton Town, back in the Premier League. I was behind that goal, Anthony, you won't remember this at all. In 1983, when Radi Antich scored, and was it the 83rd minute? Right behind that shot, Alex Williams came out, punched the ball, flapped at it. I still wake up in a cold sweat going, "Stay on your line, Alex! No! No!" David Pleat did his jog, Anthony, that you might have seen the old videos of if your dad's ever shared that one with you. So we've a long history with Luton. And look, I think it is one of football's great romantic stories that they're back. And in a way, it's kind of nice to have them back. You won't remember all the fuss about their plastic pitch, et cetera, et cetera. But let's just focus on the heres and nows and the positives. Arguably exactly the game you want when you come off a bit of a dodgy run, arguably exactly the game you don't want when you're on a dodgy run. And as we found out, they're virtually their first attempt. They score 1-0 down at half time. could have all gone pear-shaped today, but we didn't. We won. So let's start with the positives. Spencer, 3 points. Is that all that matters? What did you make of the performance?
I thought we played reasonably well. Not really very well, but well enough to get the points. Definitely the points we deserve. We did control the play for most of the game. I thought we were unlucky to go behind, really. And that was at a key moment, wasn't it, just before half-time. Yeah. Rodri out again, which is frustrating the life out of me. I actually asked Anthony before. I didn't realise why he was out. I think it was a fifth yellow that he got in the...
Rodri was there today.
Sorry, I'm going nuts. He was out for the Villa game, but back yep. here. Forgive me. It was much better with him back. Bit of a brain fade there. Thank you very much. Haaland was out. That was a bit of a surprise. I don't know that had come through to the press sort of until just before or earlier on in the day. And that sounded a little bit foreboding about why he might be out. Some sort of bone fracture or bone stress, was it talked about like that? But overall, 66% possession, 18 shots on target, a little bit more like the old City. Thought Bernardo played well, Foden played well. I really do like Foden more in the centre. And Grealish looked okay. So overall, a little bit more like old City, but at the end of the day, against a team very much in at the lower end of the table. So we would expect to win a game like this.
We would, and credit to Luton. I thought they gave a good account of themselves. That said, it's the bigger concern, Andy. We just don't seem to be able to keep a clean sheet at the moment.
No, yeah, we really don't, to be honest. What is that, 4 games now? That was 4 games before this without a victory. Guardiola had never gone more than 4 games without a victory in his entire career. So he really had to win today. And, good on the City boys. They went behind early. They kept their chin up, again, registered 18 shots and edged out a hard-fought victory. Yeah, questions around our defence at the moment. John Stones to come back and back to form as well. And, I think today, good showing. On to the next game.
Let's focus on the positives. Great goal by Bernardo, wasn't it, Spencer?
Really nice finish, yeah. He always gives quality, doesn't he? I mean, we talk about, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, but he is that sort of player. He rarely dips down below or have a bad game. Always is intelligent, great quality footballer, and a sort of a really sweet finish. And then the second goal, I didn't know if it was a sort of, it was a good move across. I didn't know if Grealish slightly sort of, was it slightly fortuitous, the connect that Grealish had there? But it was a, let's err on the side of saying it was an absolutely precisely placed shot from him. But it's good that he's now got another goal. He's short on goals for City, always has been. Overall, a sort of a satisfactory outcome.
Yeah, listen, as we said, 3 points. Anthony, who would you pick out today?
I thought Foden was really good, to be honest. He was quite doing his mazy runs. He looked confident on the ball. I thought he was pushed more central than before. I would pick out Foden as a particularly good performer today.
Yeah, he got a bit of a kicking at times, didn't he? And I thought
he looked like
a bit generous.
He got really hurt there, didn't he? Yeah. Do you think it was a red?
Well, I'm just the host here, Spencer. What's your view?
Oh, margin. I think quite marginal, to be honest. But Foden in the centre for me is that should be where he plays. I just think he's a threat. I think he's somewhat feared by the opponents in the Premier League now. He's got he's got good reputational equity, whatever you want to call it. And Alvarez is a little bit off at the moment. So let's keep Foden in the centre, and let's try and bolster that sort of central line with Rodri through and go forward and start to get some good results.
So Anthony, I came back today and I think he probably deserved his chance for what it's worth. We still just can't seem to nail down a left back, can we? I'm still not entirely convinced by Vardiol there. What's your view on that position?
But Guardiola, because we've except for Walker, who's managed to keep his place, he's been pushing more to have centre backs out left back, right back, Ake, Guardiola, Akanji. And his reason for it, as he said in one of his interviews, or maybe I saw it in one of those TIFO videos, was that he was kind of sacrificing pace for winning challenges and aerial duels, so to not get done over the top as much. So it's an intentional system that we've not got a left back. I think we've still got Cancelo on loan, which is, you know, arguably the best left back in the world. I still don't know what happened behind the scenes. But this is quite a new thing that managers haven't really done. The status quo is to have shorter, faster players like Sergio Gomez, you know, out on the left or the right. And I think it's a teething issue at the moment. I think it'll get there and we'll start to see, you know, Akanji and Guardiola having high quality games in those positions, but it's just not working yet. I remain to be proven.
Edison at fault for the first goal, Spencer, for you? Should he have come?
I wouldn't necessarily say so. Not this time. I mean, he's had his he's made mistakes this season. I don't really think so. I think it's a bit harsh, I'll be honest. I don't know what you thought.
Am I being harsh, Anthony?
I'm deferring back to that. I was driving. I heard.
Yeah, what Anthony didn't tell you in the middle of this is we were transporting a fish tank from A to B, but we were focused on the game as well.
Oh dear. Okay. But look, 3 points, we're fourth in the league. Anthony, upwards from now, do you think once we get a few players back, we'll be fine?
Yeah, 100%. We've got a deep squad. We always go on these late runs. I mean, what the dream as a City fan is that we'll take Arsenal's last notch on our peg, which is to go an invincible season. Obviously, not going to happen this season, but I still think we'll go on a monstrous run as we always do.
Okay, so let's just come back to what we touched upon before. I think I'd heard rumours overnight. I don't know where my boys get their information from, but they were adamant that Haaland wasn't going to play. And Pep referred to it being a foot injury and he didn't really know how long he was going to be out for. So it's still not entirely clear, but Spencer, does our season really hinge on how serious this injury is?
Well, it was clearly very important. I mean, it's been slightly mysterious, the messaging on this. And I mean, Haaland's been playing a lot. I mean, one of my concerns before he arrived at City was that he was, you know, being a big guy and, you know, he's not that elegant in flow, but he's just, you know, he's just a big unit. And he had a lot of injuries at Dortmund. And I don't think he played more than 30 games a season before he arrived at City. Since he's been here, you know, he's played, you know, mostly he's had really very few injuries actually so far. So it is a concern, and sort of the way it's come about, because again, I'll stand corrected, but I don't think that was spoken about after the after the Villa game. So we'll have to see, but we'll definitely miss him. But we'll have to be more creative if he is out for a period of games. Of course, you know, we're missing Mahrez. I mean, he was, you know, really quite a prolific goal scorer for City. And perhaps didn't get the credit he merited, you know, but he banged in a lot of goals each season. Gundogan obviously has always been very important in the second half of seasons for us. So if Haaland's out for a period, you know, given the way we are set up these days, then absolutely it's going to be a big miss.
And Anthony, on that note, I mean, the natural replacement if he's out is Alvarez. Just seems to be struggling a bit to me. What's your take on it?
I think that Alvarez is not as prolific as Haaland, and he, in a system where Haaland was out, and bearing in mind he was injured last season, just luckily across the World Cup break, Alvarez would play more of a centre-forward role. Something like we did with the Centurion season when, was it KDB or was it the Hunt? Yeah, where KDB, we didn't really have a striker and Kevin was more the centre forward, etc. So sort of that deep lying playmaker, and hopefully we'll see our wingers come kind of more central. I really think we as a team have the depth in goal scorer to be able to make up for what is missed from Haaland. There's only been one season that we've had that system, admittedly the best season we've ever had. But I think we can make it up by team effort, absolutely.
All good. And Spencer, I mean, one thing that struck me today is, for once, Pep actually made some tactical substitutions to try and close out the game. Normally, he'll sort of bring on an extra couple of strikers in the last 5 minutes. And you're like, what are you doing? But he brought Akanji on, didn't he? Is Pep just learning to be a little bit more pragmatic, do you think?
Oh, it's hard man to second guess, isn't he? But we closed the game out when there was, I think it was the corner right at the very, very end, wasn't there? And you thought, oh, here we go. But that was okay. So yeah, I mean, he's an incredible manager. We find it struggled to criticise him. But let's see how the second half of the season pans out. And I do share Anthony's optimism that we can adapt if Haaland's out and sort of regroup, if you like.
All good. All right. I think we'll take a break at this point. And when we come back, we've got another busy schedule ahead. Champions League game, Crystal Palace next week. We'll turn our attention to that. So see you in a minute. Welcome back. Okay, now we've covered the Luton and the Villa games. Let's look forward with eager anticipation. We've got the final group game in the Champions League this week, Red Star Belgrade. I was at the first game at the Etihad. Tough game in the end. We've already qualified. We're already top of the group. Job done, isn't it, Anthony? Do we just send the kids out?
Yeah, to be honest, let's see Oscar Bob. Let's see Foden be, one of the older leaders in the team, and let's have some youth absolutely obliterate this opposition. I think that we've got one of the best academies in the world. Every year we end up selling these unknown players for tens of millions, and let's see what they look like in the Champions League. Absolutely.
Well, whisper it quietly, Spencer, but is this a game for Calvin Phillips?
Well, I hate to say it, but it'd be a shop window game. I mean, he's got to play him, hasn't he? It's always been one of the slight mysteries. And I mean, this was a strange observation. Pep sort of almost apologised sort of midweek in the press conference. And he always has a sort of positive demeanour, Calvin Phillips. So come on, give the lad a game. Absolutely. And yeah, as Anthony said, let's see Sergio Gomez out and Oscar Bob and some of the others. You would imagine he must play plus those players. But then again, we have to get some momentum. So I'm sure 4 or 5 today's players will be a team. And as a sort of preparation as we go into the Palace game, afterwards. But I hope there's a decent support actually for City through this game. But it is a dead rubber at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm correct in saying we have the longest undefeated run of any British team in European football, don't we? Laughably, we've taken the title from West Ham, who managed somehow to emerge victorious from the Europa Conference Southern Group qualifying or something, and therefore claimed that they're also champions of Europe, etc., etc. Well, whatever makes you happy. We digress. I guess the point is this. Do we just say, just toss it off, we don't care, let's lose 6-0 as long as we don't get any bookings, any injuries, et cetera, et cetera? Or, Anthony, is it actually important that we keep that run going just to keep a bit of momentum and, the spirit in the camp?
I think, yeah, it's important that we win psychologically to go off the back of a win into the round of 16. But at the same time, as Dad and yourself, mentioned, it is a dead rubber. We're top of the group, and we have the opportunity to let some of the young boys out, stretch their legs, get some Champions League experience under their belt, and then hopefully later on in the season they can also prove their value in the Premier League. So, yeah, it's neither here nor there for me, to be honest.
Spencer, which side of the fence do you sit on in this particular debate?
I think we've got to play a reasonable team with 4 or 5. Of the squad players and get a convincing victory. I do believe that, and I think that's always been Pep's way actually in Europe, where we've come to the end of the group phase and we're basically through. He doesn't play a B team. He plays a bit of a mix, and it's important to keep momentum up, particularly as we've come off this 4-game non-winning streak. We've won today against Luton with a better showing. Let's carry that momentum through midweek. And then carry it through, to the Palace game. So I don't think, we've got to win the game and keep it going.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm with you on that, Spencer. You know, if we lose again, it'll all be the negative publicity, won't it? Et cetera, et cetera. So good luck, boys. Early kickoff on Wednesday, just to flag up. It's a 5:45 kickoff. So don't miss it. Leave your fish at home. Okay. So let's move on. Palace next weekend. And Anthony, I'm a traditionalist. I like a good 3 p.m. on a Saturday kickoff. They're few and far between. But tough place to go, I think, isn't it?
For the Palace game, hopefully me and Dad actually get up there for it. But yeah, I mean, Palace, decent team. I mean, I saw them play a little bit. Was it today they even played? And, you know, they looked good. They've got some good players. Michael Olise, Abraham Eze, Ezri Konsa. Good players. Tough team. But, you know, again, coming to the Etihad, we are one of the most dominant teams at home in Premier League history. And long may that continue. I think they're going to have a real tough time against us this coming weekend.
Oh, the arrogance of youth, though, Spencer. If only he knew what we'd been
Well, let's go with optimism of youth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, go on.
I was going to say, I think we're all far too long in the tooth to try and predict a Pep team. But I guess with the injuries, the team almost picks itself at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think we're going to we'll see a variation on the last two games in that team, I think. I hope we see more of Stones because he needs to come back into form. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've dipped below where we were in the second half of last season, because Stones made a good team into almost a trouble-winning team. You know, he was really very important to all of that. And he's a great ball-playing defender stroke midfielder. So I hope he gets out there. And we're more than capable of beating Palace, and we should beat Palace. I think we will. And get back into our stride. Look forward to it.
Okay. Final thought from you, Anthony, just on the team, as your dad's alluded to. John Stones is back and a crucial member of the squad. Who's your first choice centre-half pairing?
I mean, Diaz and Stones, absolutely. Walker on the right, and then take your pick, Guardiola or Akanji on the left. Ake's quality player, but he's never been first or nailed on the team sheet, in my eyes at least. Guardiola, he's tall. He's only 22, 23. You know, he's got a lot to learn. First season under Pep. You know, I'm just edging towards giving it to him. I don't think I've seen him have like a really top performance yet. But I'll emphasise the word yet. I think it's one to come.
Fair enough. And I always worry when it's our last game before, well, in this case, we're disappearing off for the World Club Championship. But I remember last year we lost to Brentford, didn't we, just before we had the hiatus for the World Cup. So, again, Spencer, I think back to what you said. Is this all about momentum and just getting the 3 points?
Well, yes, it is. But more than that, we do want to get back into our winning patterns, which means, you know, creating lots of chances and converting enough of them to win the game. And really, you know, every sort of each player in the team, you know, sort of being at least a six and hopefully a seven or eight on the day. I mean, I have worried a little bit about Diaz because his form has been really quite patchy through this season, but he's clearly a great quality player having, you know, a few off days rather than the other way around. So, you know, I think if he can come back into more consistent form, and with Anthony there on the, you know, the Diaz Stones thing, then we really can start to build, you know, and let's hope that we look back today and say, look, you know, when we won against Luton, and from there we went forward and we actually got better. And then after Christmas, we really put the rocket boosters on. So here's hoping.
All right. Well, to end with, gentlemen, your predictions for the Palace game, Anthony?
I'm going to go with the first clean sheet in a while, 2-0.
Brave man. Dad?
I'm going to go a bit rogue. I think Palace are going to score just because we struggle to keep clean sheets, but I'm going to go 4-1 because I think City will turn it on at the end of the day.
3-1 City, mark my words, gentlemen. Place your bets. And on that note, thank you to Spencer. Thank you to Anthony. Thank you for joining us. Your big debut. Well done, son. Keep it tight for the first 90 minutes. You'll be great, son. Don't you worry about that. Okay. anyone who plays for a Pep team, you'll play your way in. But Ray, it's been great having you both on board. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the games. Two victories. All will be well in the City world. So thank you all for joining us. We'll see you again soon. Bye now.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.